Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program, via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, December 29, 2021. A faction of South Sudan's former rebels clash in Upper Nile State this week.
They attack us on the first day of Christmas holidays, December 25th, in the border areas.
And several people were drowned in Upper Nile State when their boat capsized on River Sobat.
While they were in canoe went on overturned, killed nine children.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Conflict between first Vice President Riek Machar and Lieutenant General Simon Gatwich started in August this year when Gatwich declared himself the interim chairperson and commander-in-chief of the SPLM-IO. Gatwich said the decision to overthrow Machar was based on what he described as long frustrations over Machar's leadership style and a lack of implementation of the security arrangement in the revitalized peace agreement. Several field commanders met at the border town of Manguines in Upper Nile and resolved to dismiss and strip Machar of his position as head of the SPLM-IO. The commanders also recommended General Gatwich to take over the role of the first vice president of South Sudan under the revitalized peace agreement. Clashes between SPLM-IO faction allied to first vice president Riek Machar and General Simon Gatwich in Upper Nile State this week left more than 50 soldiers dead on both sides. Colonel Lampol Gabriel, spokesperson of the Machar faction, confirmed his side lost more than 10 commanders, including three senior officers. Sheila Pony reports for VOA from Juba.
Fighting between the two SPLA-IO faction broke out in Manguines 2 days ago. Both sides accused each other of starting the clashes. Chol Deng Thorn is deputy spokesperson of the SPLA-IO Gatwich faction.
They attack us on the first day of Christmas holidays, December 25th, in the border areas. Intense opponent attack us. They expel our forces in all areas outside Manguines. They entered Manguines December 26th and attack our forces. The attack was violent using heavy weapons, but our forces managed to defend themselves violently and repel the attack.
Thorn did not disclose how many soldiers the Gatwich faction lost during the clashes, but he claims his side inflicted heavy casualties on the rival faction.
During the attack, the enemy lost a number of senior generals. We will not mention names as they lost a number of soldiers. We are in defensive position on our bases. The enemy continues to attack us. We do not know the exact reason behind this, and the agenda is not clear.
Colonel Lampol Gabriel, spokesman for the SPLA-IO faction loyal to Machar, says forces loyal to General Gatwich attacked first. He says the Gatwich faction, also referred to as the Kitgwan faction, attacked a military base belonging to the Machar faction at a place called Amod on Sunday. He says the Machar faction suffered some losses before withdrawing from the area.
Our forces decided to withdraw to a nearby base. And at the moment, yes, as of now, we know the Kitgwan elements are in Amod area. The clashes led to several loss of life, around more than 10 from the SPLA-IO. I can confirm that, with three senior officers, the rank of colonel downward. I know people have reported of generals now, we never lost it.
Gabriel acknowledges that the Machar faction lost its base at Amod and says forces from Gatwich faction are occupying it. He says tensions are rising in northern Upper Nile State and accuses Gatwich's faction of preparing to launch more attacks.
So at the moment, tension is a little bit high around Amod because they want to get out of Amod to again attack our base in clear declaration of war, which I believe at the moment comes with the next one piece. we are trying to make sure we continue with the implementation of this agreement.
Asked how the mounting tension will be eased, Gabriel said it was up to the Kitgwan faction to ease the tension.
I believe there is war, which has already been declared. That is up to them to decide whether they want to continue with it or stop it, because we are the one being attacked here. We are not attacking, we are the ones who are being attacked. So when you are being aggressed, what do? You continue defending yourself.
Conflict between First Vice President Riek Machar and Lieutenant General Simon Gatwich Duol started in August, when Gatwich declared himself the interim chairperson and commander-in-chief of the SPLM-AIO. Gatwich said he acted because of what he described as a long frustration over Machar's leadership style and the failure to implement the security arrangements of the revitalized peace agreement. Several field commanders met at the border town of Magenis in Upper Nile and dismissed and stripped Machar of his position as head of SPLA-AIO. The commanders also recommended General Gatwich take over the role of first vice president of South Sudan under the revitalized peace deal. Machar responded by dismissing Gatwich from the movement. Since then, the two factions have clashed several times. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Juba.
Several people were drowned when a boat they were traveling in capsized in Sobat River in Upper Nile State. The Upper Nile State Police Commissioner says the passengers were traveling from Trodang to Bemaj Village for Christmas celebrations. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
The authorities in South Sudan's Upper Nile State have ordered an investigation after at least 8 children and an elderly woman died when their small boat capsized last Friday. Major General Chola Tim, the Upper Nile State Police Commissioner, says there were 11 people on the boat in the Sobat River traveling from Turadung to Burmach Village. Tim says police have been sent to the area to investigate into why the canoe sank.
They were traveling within the area of Ulang at the day of 24th, with the celebrations of 24th December evening. While they were in canoe went on Obatan, killed 9 children or youth. They were underage. Most of them, incidents like that, people should acquire why is it overturned. Because of wrong driving by the people who were driving, or because of animals, or because of what anything could be investigated.
General Atim says the cost of the incident is still unclear, but he suspects the boat might have been overloaded. Atim warned local authorities not to allow boats to be overloaded or children to travel on boats without guardians to avoid future accidents.
You see, in case of that of traveling, as in River Nile here, Malacca, Fashoda, Madu, Turang, we have put some security measures, but that the boat loaded with goods should not take people. And then the boat of passengers should not take anything in kind of source of drums of diesel and fuel, what. And people should make sure that the capacity of that particular boat is safe, not to be overloaded.
Devin Nyang, the Minister of Cabinet Affairs in Upper Nile State, says the death of the children shocked the authorities. Nyang sends his condolences to the families of the victims, saying the state government is investigating the circumstances behind the incident.
It was wrong in the first place that you feel it's more canoe, which already had an issue of leakage with the 11 people. But Baban, of course, you know, the problem always is the awareness creation. People should be made aware of the danger of that one that actually like what happened, it could have been avoided if there were actually awareness.
Several fatal boat accidents have occurred in Hapan Island State in recent months. Last month, at least 10 people, including 5 children, died after a boat heading to Malakal sank with 28 people on the White Nile River. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says floods have destroyed more than 37,000 tons of grain in South Sudan. The head of FAO in South Sudan says there's a need to immediately distribute food to most affected areas to reduce the impact of devastating floods on the people. For VOA News, David Monodanga has more on this story from Juba.
The report indicates that about 65,100 hectares of cultivated land has been submerged and damaged in floods since May, with an estimated loss of over 35,600 tons of grain. In addition, livestock herds have been devastated. It says the floods are expected to reduce food security for the flooded communities. Meshack Malo, the Food and Agriculture Organization's country representative in South Sudan, says the most affected areas are Jonglei, Warab, Northern Barakazal, Unity, and Upper Nile states.
We find that over 65,000 hectares of lands that were planted with cereals were affected. That means that that would affect about over 37,000 tons of grain. The greatest impact was actually on livestock. And as you know, South Sudanese depend a lot in their livelihood on livestock. So over 725,000 livestock basically perished due to flooding in the 8 states. This includes basically goats, cattle, and sheep.
Malo says poultry, dogs, and donkeys have also perished in the floods. South Sudan is one of the worst hunger crises globally. The World Food Program, or WFP, says there are 2.5 million people in emergency or worse levels of acute food insecurity, of which 108,000 people are estimated to already face famine-like conditions. Malo says the situation is even worse in Bentiu.
I personally visited Bentiu. You will find that people have totally been cut off from their land. People have been reduced to a very, very small area. So with that, the food availability is totally not there. Our water was able to cover over 90% of the land. So everybody is crowded within a very small area. Even getting firewood is a problem for the coast. So that just shows you how that has got a huge impact. There is no water. So a lot of factors are conspiring to make already a bad situation worse.
Malo says on the positive note, the floodwaters came with a substantial amount of fish. The FAO distributed canoes, hooks, and fishing nets so people can catch the fish. But Malo says there is an urgent need for food distribution to the most affected areas to reduce hunger.
In the short term, we really need to secure the livelihoods of the people. And that means, for instance, just by giving out these canoes and by giving out the fishing nets and the hooks, they can be able to fish. And importantly, we need to distribute food in this area so that people don't die out of lack of food. But secondly, is a long-term planning. So in terms of that, the issue of the construction of dikes is going to be very important.
Malo says dikes should be constructed along with dams to save floodwaters to be used when droughts hit the country. That would help ease the cycle of drought and floods that hits the country. The FAO report says 4.7 million people face crisis levels of food insecurity, and this is likely the worst food security situation since South Sudan became independent in July 2011. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, power struggle in Somalia threatens security in the Horn of Africa. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? people speak out on important questions. The question today:
how does your family take care of an elderly relative?
Once in a while, we sit down with him, speak with him, ask him how he's doing so he doesn't feel lonely. Then we also tell him about what is going on in the world so that he doesn't feel left out.
We make sure we provide the basic needs like food, water, make her happy, not to feel rejected. Because when they are growing and you start to abandon them, they see that they are not needed. And showing them love even brings them healing.
Helping them with the domestic chores, for example, preparing meals for them. Helping them with the clothes, cleaning up the house.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Somalia's opposition presidential candidates are calling on President Mohamed Abdullahi Ahmed, popularly known as Farmajo, to leave office after he attempted to force the prime minister from power. For VOA News, Mohamed Kahir reports from Mogadishu.
The Council of the Presidential Candidates in Somalia issued the call one day after Farmajo suspended the Prime Minister Mohamed Hussein Roble, accusing him of corruption and failure to conduct elections. The Prime Minister has denied the allegations, accusing the President of orchestrating a coup. The opposition candidates called for an investigation into what they termed as a treason and for the National Consultative Council, consisting of the federal and other leaders from five states, to immediately address grievances about already delayed parliamentary elections. There has been no comment from Farmajo on the latest developments, which have escalated a dispute between two politicians over the delayed vote and who will lead the country. Critics say the president is looking to stay in power by any means necessary. Farmajo took office in February 2017. His term formally ended in February. The international community, including the U.S. Embassy in Mogadishu, has since urged Somali leaders to avoid violent actions and initiate dialogue to resolve their differences in order to expedite the vote. Parliamentary elections were supposed to conclude before end of the year, but are nowhere near complete, with just more than 50 members of the parliament out of 275 selected so far by the tribal delegates. Mohamed Kahir for VOA News in Mogadishu, Somalia.
Former South African President Thabo Mbeki says Archbishop Desmond Tutu's harsh criticism of the ruling African National Congress Party, the ANC, in the final years of his life was totally correct. Mbeki, who followed Nelson Mandela to lead South Africa from 1999 to 2008, was reflecting on Tutu's legacy on national television. Tutu, a former anti-apartheid activist and recognized as one of the world's best moral leaders, died on Sunday at the age of 90. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
Tutu had supported the ANC in its fight against apartheid since he was a young Anglican cleric, but he had no problem criticizing it even when his great friend Mandela was president from 1994 to 1999. Tutu, however, really began breaking ranks with the ANC shortly after Jacob Zuma deposed Mbeki in 2008. The Archbishop was an implacable opponent of Zuma, a man who had, and still has, clouds of corruption hanging over him, and also a man accused, but cleared, of raping a young woman. In 2011, Tutu blasted the ANC as worse than the apartheid government for being selfish and for neglecting poor South Africans. 2 years later, Tutu was deeply hurt when the ANC refused to allow him to speak at Mandela's funeral. Ahead of the 2014 elections, as the ANC government's corruption under Zuma intensified, Tutu said people should consider praying for its downfall.
I won't vote for them. That is something that I have said. And I say it with a very sore, very heavy heart.
Mbeki says South Africa now has a much better president in Cyril Ramaphosa, but many of the problems that worsened under Zuma remain.
So long as you have all of these huge poverty levels, huge inequalities in terms of opportunity, of wealth, of income and all of that, So long as you are two nations, you can't achieve this reconciliation. So it's important to really address this matter of the fundamental transformation of our society.
Tutu blamed ongoing poverty and inequality largely on the ANC's failure to institute good economic policies and on its poor governance and corruption. Mbeki says Tutu was right when he slammed the ANC for not being honest about its past failures.
The majority of the people who are involved in corrupt practices in government will in the main be ANC members. Those ANC must answer the question openly to the people. What happened that this ANC should carry in its ranks this kind of person, who is therefore acting in a way that is very inconsistent with the historic values of the ANC, and so it's got to answer.
But Zuma and others in the ruling party started their allegedly corrupt practices under Mandela and Mbeki, both who did little to curb them.
And I'm saying that the ANC needs to reflect practically, realistically, truthfully on what went wrong with itself. Because indeed many things went wrong with itself, and hence
this is exactly what the ANC did not do in late 1998 when Mbeki rejected the final report of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the TRC, which Tutu had chaired. The TRC found that while the ANC had waged a just war against apartheid, some of its cadres were guilty of gross human rights violations. The ANC was outraged that Tutu and his fellow commissioners had branded some of its members war criminals on the same level as apartheid's foot soldiers. But Tutu stuck to his guns and refused to amend the TRC's findings. The Archbishop urged the government to prosecute those from all sides of the conflict who'd failed to apply for amnesty for human rights abuses committed during apartheid. Up until today, the ANC, including under Mbeki, has not done so. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Rights groups in Kenya are pushing authorities to settle tens of thousands of squatters evicted just ahead of the holidays to make way for Chinese-backed expressway. Belinda Molinya reports from Nairobi.
Kenyan Lucy Wangare, in her 40s, cleans a makeshift tent that has provided her family flimsy shelter since October when Nairobi city authorities evicted them from their home of almost 2 decades. She, her husband, and her sister spend the holiday season living in the tent, enduring cold and wet nights. City authorities evicted more than 40,000 squatters like Wangare from Mukuru Kwanjenga slum and razed their homes to make way for construction of the Nairobi Expressway. What is left of the Mukuru slum looks like a wasteland, with scores of makeshift tents forming a small island. Authorities gave them just days' notice to vacate their homes, says Wangari. If you look at where I sleep, she says, you'd think I wasn't a Kenyan citizen. You'd think I was a refugee. Wangari says they used to have property and houses, but right now they've been left destitute. She blames Kenya's government. The $500 million elevated expressway aims to ease Nairobi's notorious traffic by connecting the main international airport to the city center and the wealthy suburbs. The Chinese state-owned China Road and Bridge Corporation is building and financing the expressway, which should be working in 2022 and will collect the tolls for nearly 3 decades. Despite critics calling it a road for the rich, Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta defended the project while taking a tour of it the day before Christmas.
The difference that is being occasioned by the road building, by the drainage being put in, by the sewage being put in, I do believe that within another 2 years, Nairobi will be a truly 21st century city, catering for its population in a positive manner and in a manner befitting our people.
But Kenyan right activists fought the government for not striking a balance between the need for infrastructure and human dignity for those evicted. 25-year-old Anami Daudi is with the Mukuru Community Justice Center.
It's so traumatizing. People are having mental issues here. We have other special challenges here. They should get special attention. But you find out that even the facilities that we have around, they can't maybe even accommodate or maybe to create that space to provide such services.
The single squatters left homeless like 38-year-old Pauline Gedoni struggle with security fears. It's very dangerous to spend the night here, she says, especially for us women. Gedoni says the men can defend themselves if attacked, but she can't fight anybody. If someone attacks me and steals my property, tells me to leave, she says, I will have no choice but to obey them. City authorities' promises to compensate and help resettle the evicted families have yet to come true. Brenda Molinya for VOA News, Nairobi.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now leave you with Dynamic and the song Jere Jere.
All right. Sudanese child. Ooh yeah, ooh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh yeah. Ruka music. Auma. Jere jere vidunia de.
Jere jere.
Sibuna si sambala.
Jere jere.
Suata ta dunia de.
Suata, suata.
Nasi mutu sambala.
Suata.
Sunu batal vidunia de mama.
Sunu bata.
Nasi maderu geni sawa.
Sunu bata.
Wenu salam takulio.
Wenu, wenu salam.
Nasi maderu geni sawa.
Wenu salam.
Jiran bada mashaki.
Jiran bada mashaki.
Asana nami lotuko.
Lotuko, lotuko, yeah.
Do you faba ja fibe?
Fibe, fibe.
Asana nami lokoya.
Lokoya, lokoya, ya.
Jere jere vidunia de.
Jere jere.
Sibuna si sambala.
Jere jere.
Suata ta dunia de mama.
Suata, suata.
Nasi mutu sambala.
Suata.
Police dugu wana kofsaki. Galia na mina Amerika.
Galia na mina Amerika.
Siti muwana sakit eh mama.
Siti muwana yeah, yeah. Sakit.
Galia na wewe min Uganda.
Chaku tungende Kampala.
Jirana bafata ba.
Kufulu.
Yeah, yeah. Asana na mindidinga.
Madi mundari kuku.
Turujua na minshukul.
Turujua na saki.
Asana na minuba.
Wari ache
yeah. Jere jere vidunia de.
Jere jere.
Sibuna si sambala.
Jere jere.
Suata ta dunia de.
Suata, suata.
Nasi mutu sambala. Medersa aba registration. Hakuma aba sauduana.
We've been listening to Dynamic with the song Jere Jere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being avid listener. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mama, mama, yeah, nasi mutu sambala, so yeah, suwak aba arfa ana, asanu matai kawata,
sande dinkanwe,
ataku.